You're listening to Comics with Kenobi.
It is episode number 151. Jeff, it is a season of endings and perhaps some beginnings. Shall we begin anew, you and me?
Geek me all knowing box set stay open May 4th. I'm hoping we're gonna be hot as before. This rent looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running.
I don't know, Matt. I've never begun a new before. What's a new?
Well, apparently it's like a canoe.
You're supposed to say, what's a new with you?
Oh! I'm out of the band, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
You want to do it over?
It's okay. I'm not sure. I'm not sure my joke was any better than yours. So at least yours went somewhere that I didn't see it coming. So.
Oh boy, Dr. Aphra, number 40, episode number 151, Target Vader, number 6, last issue of this miniseries. It's all going to reach a boiling point with both of these series, and I guess, you know, with Star Wars number 75, when Empire Ascendant comes out next week. But, man, going to miss both of these series, bud.
So am I, and we should say we're recording this well ahead of time, so we don't have any news to speak of, but again, as always, watch the Twitter feed. Matt will keep that updated and has kept that updated. We're recording this way early because Jeff is going to New York next week and will not
start
be
start spreading the news.
I'm leaving day after tomorrow.
Going back to my old stomping grounds. It's going to be fun for you, I think.
It will be. I'm looking forward to it. I've always wanted to go at Christmas time, and I've already had you and several other people give me some recommendations, several of the same recommendations. So Staten Island Ferry is definitely on the list.
Excellent.
As is, and I had a friend who actually did one time. He said he and a buddy of his went around and had pizza in each of the 5 boroughs.
That's actually a noble effort.
Yeah, I thought
and
that was a really
them.
Cool idea. So I may give that a try. We'll see.
You should. Come on. Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, and Staten. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan. I really enjoyed living in New York.
I would love it. I would love to live somewhere where I didn't have to own a car.
It was a lot of fun. And it was funny. It's the entire time I lived in New York, I owned a car.
How often did you drive it?
When I first got there, I used to drive it usually every week. As a matter of fact, when I first moved there, you could actually still take your cars on the Staten Island Ferry. And every now and then I would drive to it because I worked on Sundays. So I would drive to work, drive down to the ferry because I lived on Staten Island. And I would drive down to the ferry in St. George, drive the car out of the ferry, pull out in Whitehall South Ferry in the tip of Manhattan, and drive up to Midtown because my office was over at 50 Rock, at Rockefeller Center, right next door to 30 Rock. So
there's no 40 Rock in the middle?
No, I'm afraid not. So.
Oh.
But and then but it was great at Christmas because, you know, you got to see the tree and the ice skating rink and but you also had to deal with all the tourists, which is not that bad. You know, it's a lot of fun and, you know, it's festive and, you know, New Yorkers, you know, they can be festive.
Yeah, you know, they can be New Yorkers. Yeah, by and large, you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. New Yorkers are like animals. You don't bother them, they don't bother you.
Well, I'll never forget. This was a few months after 9/11, and I remember that because, like, you know, in the aftermath of 9/11, you know, the whole city was, you know, it was just you know, obviously a weird vibe, and, you know, people were like really super nice to one another, and then it was probably like 2.5-3 months later, and I was crossing the street in Midtown, and you know, somebody was crossing against the light, and cab comes, you know, screeching to a halt and honking, you know, and they started swearing at each other. And I thought, you know, we're going to be okay.
we're going to be all right. I've only been to New York once before. It was in 2000. I went with my college theater troupe. And the first thing that happened when I stepped onto the sidewalk out of the parking garage where we parked, the first thing that happened was a guy tried to sell me some marijuana. And at the end of the day, I've been walking around the city all day. At the end of the day, right before we left, the last thing that happened is a guy tried to sell me a puppy.
Oh.
He was carrying a dog around in his jacket. He goes, hey, man, Zip, you want to buy a dog? Take it home to your girl. I'm like, well, I got a 25-hour car ride. I don't think that's really going to work, but thank you.
Yeah, oh boy. yeah, it's truly a city of wonders.
It's a city of earthly delights.
I'm
looking forward to it. So all that is to say that we don't have any news because Jeff is living a dream. I've always wanted to go to New York at Christmas time. We're going to see the Rockettes, and I'm just really looking forward to it and going to have a good time. But as a result, we're having to record this early, we're getting to record this early.
Yes.
So let's just jump into it, Matt. Why don't we start with Target Vader Chapter the Last?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's start with this cover. This cover is phenomenal.
Nick Klein, bringing the goods as always.
To the colors, it just perfectly encapsulates this book. The look and feel of the book, and the energy of the book is just perfectly presented here in this cover.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I have loved everything about this miniseries. Because it, as I've said before, and I continue to tout this miniseries to people by saying that it captures the gritty vibe and the weird vibe of Marvel's 77 to 86 comics run, it just does a splendid job of that. And
real quick, we completely skipped over the prologue.
Oh my God, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, that's why I was confused. I was like, wait, are we in the right book?
No, we're not. Sorry about that. Sorry. All right, so we'll go back. Okay, so we open up. We're on the Outer Rim, and it's before. I think we lost him. Well, thanks to the broken wing, we both know how the Empire thinks. Valance, they just won't give up looking. But I know the perfect place to hide.
And this is Kavik, his compatriot. And he says, you said nobody should ever fly through an asteroid field, and a lot of people fly through asteroid fields in Star Wars for them to be something to be avoided. And I love it. He says, "Yeah, well, fortunately for both of us, I'm not nobody." Very, very Han Solo-esque.
It is.
And we find out that he's basically set up shop in the middle of this asteroid field,
which I love and I think is awesome, and that appeals to the 11-year-old. That appeals to the 11-year-old to me. Cause as a sixth grader, we had a class assignment where we had to do our dream home, and it could be any sort of fantastical method, and by God, I put my house inside of an asteroid.
And he says, look, I know you've worked with some tough bounty hunters, that solid bunch, they're not like us, they weren't Imperials. And he says, I know every bit of the Empire's reach, and more importantly, I know every place they don't touch. I set up outposts like this in every system, tucked away in asteroid fields where no one dares to go. This is the biggest and the last generator in the back is going to make the air breathable on this rock. Nothing but the best, right? Like I promised you. You still got a lot to learn, kid. And this is when I noticed Valance is very young here.
Yeah.
He said, but you stick with me and, well, you'll live a short life almost entirely in debt and on the run, but hey, at least you'll be free. And that's where we cut to now. And this is where we see Valance flying this, looks like the same ship. I'm assuming it's not the same ship.
I think it is the same ship. Okay. It looks eerily similar. I mean, it's definitely, a Corellian vessel, because if you look at the way it's designed, you can see sort of like almost like the hull of the Falcon, of a YT-1300.
Yeah.
But with the cockpit dead in the middle and everything. So, and of course, these ships were, according to the lore, were designed to be very modular. So they had like this sort of like core disc, if you will, but then people modified them, or they could get them on spec or if need be. But I like the way this ship looks. It's mean looking. It's ominous looking.
I do too. It's really, really cool. I like it. And now we have we get the title page with the creative team.
The creative team on this book, as it has been for most of the series, writer Robbie Thompson has had great fun in reimagining and reinvigorating Bylert Valance, starting way back at the Han Solo Imperial Cadet miniseries. He's really given the character fleshed out ideas and ideals. And the artist on this book and this issue, three of them, Stefano Landini, Roberto Di Salvo, and Jorge Duarte, colors, Niraj Menon and Rochelle Rosenberg. And, those are two colorists who are at the top of their game. Letters, of course, by Virtual Calligraphy's Joe Carabagna. Assistant editor is Tom Groneman. Editor is Mark Panizia. And we rock it off part 6 of 6 free. And we're on Loic on a secret rebel outpost. And it just gets better and better. Because we have the dialogue going on here. What? And, you know, I don't like this plan, Geeta, and I don't trust Valance. We're out of options, Ilyar. If we're going to fight back against the Empire, we'll need weapons. Listen, I don't trust Valance either, but I've seen him in the field. I know what he's capable of. And I know that if we're going to get the weapons the Rebellion needs, Valance is our only shot. And nice segue to this, because you turn into page two, Valance is on this, almost like this moonscape, you know, of rock, with these wonderful horizontal panels, you know, leading down, and we see him setting up his high-powered rifle, scoping out, and bottom of this page. I like how we do this. We get the sort of the cross, the equivalent to a Star Wars crosshair, looking at the cave, you know, the open door, and then it's just this solid pacing. And I swear to God, right now, the way Valance is drawn, it looks like Anson Mount. So, and then that's an on your feet, scum. Click, and you see the gun at the top of that second panel, and of course you immediately know it's a stormtrooper. You know, just because of that handle. Remember the old Kenner gun?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I don't think we ever got a rifle this cool in the Kenner line. We got some cool rifles, but this thing, it looks like a rail gun.
It does, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
But then, of course, you see that Stormtrooper rifle. And, of course, you know, I remember my Stormtrooper rifle. Do you remember those that came out in the...
Yes.
I think they came out in the late 70s. I used to have one.
Oh, I did, too. Mine was black before they stopped being able to make them in black because people were getting shot.
And you could actually move this, because that little handle at the front of the barrel, I think, if memory serves me, you could actually pull it back so it would become a rifle. So, but...
Mine didn't. You might have had a different one than I did. Mine didn't. There may have been one before the one I got.
Okay, but, yeah.
Cooler than mine.
But I like the storytelling here, with the way they do these panels, because we see a lot of stuff off site, or out of the main view. I mean, we see legs, and we hear noises, you know, shift, and then we see a set of legs disappear, and then we hear a beep beep, and I guess, and then we cut in, and it's like, well, they're gone, the stormtroopers, because there's Valance. So,
and like he says, I hope you guys have some food down there. I can't taste anything anymore, but I'm starving, and we realize he's been captured.
Yep.
And this guy says, you had a good run, Valance, but you're done. So keep your eyes off that transport and take what's coming to you. And somebody's talking off camera. I started to say off screen, off the page. He says, I thought I'd killed anyone who knew of this place. To be honest, I didn't even know of its existence until a few years ago. But once I found one, it was easy to find the rest. So few have ever set eyes on this hideout, and even fewer still have seen the true face, the leader of the Hidden Hand. And we see this guy. Is he a Bothan?
No, that's not a Bothan. That's
I feel bad. Every time I see a fuzzy-faced individual, I assume they're a Bothan.
No, that's one of those... It's from the sequel trilogy characters. I forget the species.
I can't remember it either. But he says, normally I'd be impressed, but I didn't hire you to find me. I hired you to kill Vader as he's just beating the tar out of Valance. And he says, it's taken me years to build all this, years to organize as many rogue bounty hunters as I could find. I built an army. Nothing can stand in my way, not the Empire, and certainly not a simpleton like you. And he's got a rock in his hand. He's just about to do him in. And he stops and says, who else knows? He says, just me, Gui. I guess is the guy's name, Gui or Gwai. And I'm just glad that they resisted the urge to call him Gui -D-O. Call him Guido. And he tells me the rest of
Tar-sunt.
Team is dead.
He's a Tar-sunt.
Tar-sunt, that's it.
Tar-sunt, T-A-R-S-U-N-T.
Got it. And Valance assures him that the rest of the team is dead. Nobody knows what happened to Kavik, and I thought nobody knew about his hidden bases. But when I saw each of your outposts were all near asteroid fields, well, I did the math. I wasn't sure you were in charge until 5 minutes ago. Guess you still like to get your hands dirty. And he says, so your team is dead and failed to kill Vader, and now you've come all this way to, what, kill me? Why? I love Valance just says, I don't like you. And he brings his and I thought he had a rock, but I think he's just got a... Oh, that's what it is. He's got a cane in his hand.
Yes.
That he's leaning on.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you've been stealing from other bounty hunters, but desperate for money to pay off whatever debt you're drowning under. Was it money you're after? And he looks down and he looks up and he says, is it Chorin or Corin?
I've been pronouncing it Corin.
Me too. That's what I was thinking. So Corin. And I love the way that they've done the next page, these panels, because you get a full picture, but it's broken up. of Gui and his henchmen. Their faces are complete, but it's broken up, so it's just a little off balance. It kind of like we're seeing it from Valance's point of view. And he says, "That backwater village, how do you know about that?" I approached your team because word was out that you all had it in for the Empire, for Vader and the Empire. I never knew why you did it until now. So this has all been about revenge, huh? Pathetic. All this way for nothing, and now, and from off camera, we hear you die. And, man, talk about a hero shot of Vader. Just saying, kill them all, and he's just, almost looks like a drama queen's entrance to me. Like, he planned it this way.
You know, it does, but, you know, I want to take a moment here to point something out, because if you, one of the, I think, most difficult aspects of drawing Darth Vader is you have to emote Vader with his body language.
Yes.
Because, you know, he wears the helmet. And, you know, the artist, and sadly, I don't know which of the three artists it is, because they did not break it down by pages, which I wish they had. The artist has done an amazing job here. Because even though Vader's head is tilted down, you know, it looks like he's almost scowling. But if you look at the helmet closely, nothing has changed.
No, nothing at all.
I mean, it's still rigid and structured. But the way that body language is, you know, with the cape flying off behind him to the side, and the way his hands are gripped, and the way he's got his arms flexed at his waist, and that dialogue. And then, of course, and the stormtroopers behind them, again, you know, they wear buckets, so they can't really emote, but it's just very, very ominous.
Well, again, you talk about their body language, the stormtroopers even look tense.
Yes, they do.
You know, they're coiled and ready to strike. And you know, Vader's got, he's got his fist clenched, and then going down to the next page, he says, "Leave their leader to me," as he's pointing. And you can see him jutting his finger out. It even leaves the panel. And then we get the pew 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 as the stormtroopers run into action,
and they seem to be hitting people. So
I know, very unlike them.
And but that line from Gui, you bastard.
And Valance is just owning it. He says, "And then some." And I like that it actually says "break." It is the hidden hand dice today, and I love this image again. I've talked a lot about the motions. Streaks that we see in these and how well they work, but I think it's interesting that a lot of them bleed over onto the characters on this panel. A couple that bleed over onto Valance, really, really interesting. And he tells him, "You die today." And meanwhile, Vader is choking somebody with one hand, got his lightsaber in the other, slicing somebody else in two. And of course, Valance is just going to town on Gui, you know, for Corin, as he's
Yeah, it's, well, you know, Corin is his homeworld. He wants revenge for his homeworld.
And it's interesting because on this next page, we have panels that are incomplete.
But I think that's by design.
It is. No, I love it. I think it's great. I would never have thought about that.
And it's interesting because what it shows, it shows like it's almost like a sequence, like a film strip.
Yes. And the panel we do see all of is Vader slicing someone's arms off.
Oh, Vader.
And then, IE from that, yeah, it's great.
And then, of course, you see the extent, you know, as the lightsaber crosses across two panels, and then, boom. Valance is about, you know, he's got the gun stuck up in Gui, and it looks like he's about to pull the trigger, and you hear the, no. Whoomp. And Vader, you know, basically, I guess, doesn't force choke him, but force knocks him against the ceiling. So the Emperor wishes to meet his prize. So, and of course, now Gui is squealing. You know, no, please, I can help you. I know about the rebellion. Just, and this dialogue here from Darth Vader. "You will tell the Emperor everything you know. Every member of your cabal will be hunted and destroyed. And then you shall die." And then, of course, Vader looks over, "Bring me Valance." And, Lord, Vader, Valance is hurt. Missing.
Harsh. That poor guy.
I feel bad. Feel bad for that trooper. Yeah, then we cut to a shot of Valance just, you know, trucking it back to the ship. So
when you're at the ship, and that ship is interesting because it looks uneven. It's almost like it is modular, that things have been added not necessarily at the same time.
Yeah. So,
and in Vader 6, send word to Corin, I want every trace of Valens destroyed. Burn everyone and everything in that settlement to the ground. And we see these troopers on Corin, very ominous looking. The way that they're shot up from below.
Yes.
Very ominous looking. I really like it. And I love that it's interspersed between these images of the people of Corin. We have one where they look a little concerned, then one where they look happy. And this trooper is saying, we have our orders to raise the village. No survive. Huh? And then they cut. We cut and we see the camera pulls back. I'm going to call it the camera pulls back. And we see there's nobody there. The guy just says, we are so dead. And there we cut back to Loic. And a Corin person saying, I can't believe that actually worked, almost as much as I can't believe you kept your word. So what we find out is that the rebels have evacuated all the people of Corin. And he says, just as you kept yours, nobody followed you. And she says, give us some credit. So my people are safe here. And they say, so are you. Stay, help us. You're not very smart, but you are brave.
Oh.
And these next few panels on the rest of this page are the ones that remind me most of the mid to late 80s artwork.
Yeah.
Because just the colors. May the Force be, says, give it a rest, kid. And I love the way we got the lines are softer here. They're still very defined, but they're not as harsh. Mm-hmm. And the colors are not necessarily washed out, but they're just not quite as vibrant. Almost pastel-y, but not really pastel-y. He says, stay out of trouble, and Eula, thanks for the good luck, but I think you need it more than me now. And he gives her back the jewel that I guess she gave him at some point in the past.
Yeah, the gemstone. And that's where we cut to Coruscant, and sets it up. And it's Dengar, who's relaying his tales of victory. He's, his Predaccio. And then I told him I wanted more credits, and he doubled it. I'm telling you, Vader ain't so tough. In fact, I bet if I wanted, I could. Hey, are you guys even listening? I mean, what are you even looking at? I'm trying to tell a story. You got to be kidding. Boom!
Valens is, I'm afraid it was Vader, but Valens has shown back up. On Coruscant, of all places. Yeah, and man, that is the punch to end all punches.
Seriously. That's a haymaker if ever there was one. So, this line, buy me a drink for not killing the guy? And then, of course, he is the bartender. I thought you were part of Dengar's big score. What happened to all your credits, Valens? First of all, Dengar betrayed everyone in my crew, and they're all dead now. Second, I'm a bounty hunter. What do you think I did with all those credits? I blew them all on something stupid.
And what he blew them on was weapons and saving his people.
Exactly, and arming the rebellion. So this, a great
very,
story.
Very reminiscent of the end of Solo.
Very much so. I really liked this a lot. It was very enjoyable.
It didn't go where I thought it was going to, and I don't mind that when it goes here where it went. I didn't mind it at all.
A lot of twists and turns in this six issue miniseries. So
this is one that I'll go back and reread later to get a better grasp of the story.
Oh gosh, yeah.
When the trade is released, I'll go back and read everything start to finish. But yeah, this was a treat. It's the best way I can describe this book. It's just been a treat.
It has been. It's just been like this. It's been like this really flavorful, appetizer and entree all at the same time.
Yes, agreed. And again, so if you haven't been reading it, go pick it up. You can pick all the issues up now, or you can wait for the trade. But I would suggest picking all the issues up just because I love all these covers. So it'd be a good way to display them all on your wall, and you can pull them down to read if you want to. I'm big on displaying comics with great covers.
You should be.
Speaking of great covers, Dr. Aphra. Sorry, Destination Hoth, Star Wars Dr. Aphra. Issue number 40. Cover, very simple, but I really like it.
This is a perfect ending cover, if you will. Because this is our basically, the crux of our main character, Dr. Aphra, with Vulata and, of course, Magna Tolvan. And it's an end piece. And this cover, of course, is by Ashley Witter, as have been most of the books that Dr. Aphra has had. And I like it a lot. There was also a really great variant cover, a Greatest Moments variant by Terry and Rachel Dodson of Kylo and Rey fighting, in Snoke's throne room from The Last Jedi. So
very nice.
Really enjoyed it. It was very, very kinetic. So,
took us halfway through the show to get that in there.
We're going to get there eventually.
There were some very kinetic things in Target Vader, but I like teasing people along, making them think they're not going to get it.
Yes. Well, yes, last issue, Rogue's End, Part 4. This was... I'm surprised because, you know, I really, you know, this, when I was reading through it, it felt like an oversized issue to me, but it wasn't.
It's not at all.
But it packed so much heft and so much detail.
And it just flew by. Interesting that you mentioned that, because this story did cover a lot of ground. This issue did cover a lot of ground. There's a lot of dialogue, and yet it never felt talky in the way, you know, I complained about Fallen Order just having way too much dialogue. This probably had just as much dialogue, but something about it just flowed better to me. I don't know what that is.
I think it's because, you know, we're reading this knowing that it's the end. And just, you know, look, just if you're a new listener, rest assured, if you're a Dr. Aphra fan, this is not the actual end of Dr. Aphra. She will be back in a new series starting in April. Called Dr. Aphra.
But if this was the last issue, it would be a very, very, very fitting goodbye.
Farewell. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's definitely not a placeholder. You know, this is a standalone, great way to conclude a 40-issue series. You know, for an original Star Wars character that was created for comics, Essentially, what's, you know, it's all winding down. Threads are being resolved, and being tied together. And, you know, Aphra has saved her father, Corin, and she has sent him, and his shuttle to go save Velada, who's, you know, in the process of about to be eaten by, sand sharks. And last issue we saw that, of course, you know, Aphra and Magna Tolvin finally connected. Had a great kiss, an evening of passion. Yet Aphra still took advantage of the situation to benefit herself.
Oh dear!
And let Vader know that, not necessarily let Vader know, but realize that the rebels were gathering on Hoth in the aftermath of the Battle of Yavin. And this is where we open up. Of course, written by Simon Spurrier. Art by Casper Wingard. Great art, as always. Great colors by Lee Loughridge. Again, VC's Joe Caramagna handling the letters. As we said, Ashley Witter was the main cover artist. Terry and Rachel Dodson did the Greatest Moments variant. Tom Groneman, the assistant editor. Mark Panizia, the editor. A very special thanks to Kieran Gillen, who helped create the character, Dr. Aphra. And it opens up, essentially... Begin recording. So, I guess this is it. Huh. The end.
And let me just say, this is this trope of most of this book being a recording that she's sending to them as voiceover is something we've seen before. It's a trope and it's a cliche, but it's one that, when done correctly, can be very effective. And I think it's been done pitch perfectly here.
I think, I agree with you completely 100%, and I think it's become sort of her calling card.
Yes.
Because Aphra, I think if you look in any good thesaurus, a synonym for Aphra is regret. So another synonym would be confusion. So I like how we start this up, and then we cut to Kartovian, Ash Moon, where Velada is with the other Dr. Aphra. And they're about to give in. It's okay, young lady. Just close your eyes. Don't look at them. It's all okay. We have this dialogue going down the left hand side of the page, and then we have in the right hand side going down. We have Aphra making her recording. I'm sorry, I left you, all of you. And then we cut to the next panel. Don't look. As the sand sharks. Are approaching. I don't know why they don't close the ship up, but
right.
Someone smart once said, "If you can't change, best you can do is shield those you love from your defects." All the same, you know me, right? And the shark is approaching. Boom! I always gotta do one better. And Vulada's like, what? And we cut back, we pull back, and the sand sharks are dead. Way I figure, if you can't change, and let's just go right ahead and accept I'm a lost cause on that score, then the best you can do is bring the folks you love together. And this page, this full-on, full-page spread is amazing. You know, a little homage, you know, to all those issues where we've seen Darth Vader riding the top of his TIE fighter coming down from the sky. We have Magna Tolvan atop the U-Wing coming down onto the moon.
Oh, this is so great. Yeah, giving
gun
her
drawn,
her hero moment. Yeah.
Duster flapping behind her. You know, the ringed planet above them. You know, we see her approaching, you know, and from behind Vulada and Corran. And then we get that dialogue from Aphra. So I'm asking you, begging you, actually, to watch each other's backs. I was pretty crappy at being selfless, even in the best of times. But now, let's just say I won't be there to screw it up. Not ever again. And then that's where we pull back, and we see the Aphra Hollow, and it looks like it's been caught on a loop. You're safer without... And the way Casper has drawn this, and the way Lee has colored this, and the way Joe has lettered this, you know, because, you know, there's, you know, the entrance to the cavern, and you see out, and you see the U-Wing, and you see Magna approaching Vulada and Corran.
Almost like she's a ghost.
Yeah, and then you pull back inside the cavern, and you see, you know, the hollow of Aphra. But look at the swirls and swirls on the cavern rock.
Yeah.
That's really good detail. I like that a lot.
It's gorgeous. And it reminds me a lot of the scene in The Force Awakens where we first meet Snoke when he's that giant hologram.
Uh-huh.
Reminds me a little bit of that, but it's, again, far more evocative. And again, it makes her seem sort of like the ghost of Christmas past.
There you go.
And she continues, truth is, I wound up just like I bet you always expected, just like I deserved. Cold, alone, staring at my own death, with nothing but my own treachery for company. And this is a character that, this character is so three-dimensional to me. I was talking to Pam. She mentioned a few weeks ago, a friend of hers that she works with reads Star Wars comics and asked her if she'd been reading Dr. Aphra. Apparently he's a big fan. And of course she told him to listen to our show, which I'm sure he promptly did. But I kept telling her this book, more than any of the other Star Wars books that we've discussed, is closest to literature from a character standpoint to me, because this is the book that we get the most well-rounded characters. And this is a character that has a lot of self-loathing. But that's just one side of her. She's also cocky as all get out. But she's also extremely insecure. And it's just all of those dichotomies living together in the same character. It's just amazing to me.
And then, I think it has been from the get-go. I mean, you know, we never did get that chance to get Kieran Gillen onto the show to talk about, you know, the genesis and the root of the creation of Dr. Aphra. You know, I mean, so, you know, who's to say, you know, she may have just, you know, been developed initially to help, you know, augment the Darth Vader storyline back when he was writing Darth Vader.
And it kind of grew from there, exploded from there, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, but even then, I mean, it's, you know, even then when she was, you know, first introduced, she was definitely not a throwaway character. You could tell immediately that there was something to her, that this was somebody who was worth exploring and worth getting to know.
It reminds me of a situation on like a television series where you hire an actor for a bit part and they fit the part so well that you're able to craft a much larger a character that becomes like a series regular or even a spinoff of their own.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I got with this, is there's just so much there that I'm glad that somebody at Lucasfilm said, you know what, we need to explore this a little more.
Definitely. You're right. And so it's great that, you know, that she got pushed into her own series. I mean, and we got some really good stuff. And of course, as Kieran Gillen gave way to Simon Spurrier taking her over, we really got down into the weeds into who Aphra is. And that's one of the reasons we keep on coming back. And I think this page here that Simon has written really sums it up, because, you know, as you said, you know, we open up, we're on a cold, snowy planet. Nice head fake here, by the way, Simon Spurrier.
Yes.
You know, because you and I were discussing, you know, the last, you know, when we read Dr. Aphra 39, well, wait a minute. She knows it's the rebel basis on Hoth, but wait a minute, because Empire Strikes Back, and he's like, nope, that's it. That's them. The rebels are there. So we know she never actually told him it was Hoth. But Simon brings us in with this great art by Casper and colors by Lee. And so we don't know. It looks like Hoth. and this page right there is giving us so many possibilities. But it's also the way, what I'm trying to say is, because, we see this, we think we're on Hoth, and then we're reading this as almost as if it's a Aphra's post-mortem of her life.
Right.
So she goes on, as you say, cold, alone, staring at my own death, with nothing but my own treachery for company. Report. It's like I said, boss, I got intel on the rebel base, but time's tight. In a couple of weeks, they'll have defenses up the wazoo, so truth. Or something like it.
Which is a great line, because that's pretty much what you're going to get from Aphra. You're going to get truth or something like it.
Yeah, but then, in this panel, there's also, some of the Imperials, but sir, the fleet can't detect a single trace. And Aphra, she's so good at covering. They're dug in deep, but I found a back way. I figured you might want to take a little scout for yourself, sir. You never know which VIPs they might have down there. Senators, princesses, generals, farm boys.
Hint.
And this panel, because it shows how imposing Darth Vader is, because we don't see his head. That's how tall he is. But, we see the snowtroopers behind him, and we see Aphra from the back, and it just, she's enveloped by Vader's presence.
And I love that one of the snowtroopers is looking at the other one as if to say, what is she talking about?
Seriously. And then we cut into her dialogue. Mind you, even if I do deserve exactly what I get, even if you can depend on me to cheat, betray, and leave every damn thing on fire, including my own stupid heart, still, you can't deny it, the Vader says, show me. Nobody ever got anywhere trying to second-guess Shelley Aphra. And that's where we pull back and we find that we are on the Meridional ice cap on Tython.
Welcome to Tython, Lord Vader.
And this look, immediately you can already tell something is up here. Because that is clearly a Jedi sitting, a statue of a Jedi sitting in quiet contemplation. We see that there's maybe the remnants of a small village at the base of this cave. And we get our ties here. Love seeing these ties, by the way. Because we get Vader's tie, we get the ties from Rogue One, and then we start exploring into the cavern, the martyrium of frozen tears. And Aphra's playing it dumb, because the guy's asking, what was this place? Honestly, they have no idea. And Vader, but Vader is all business. Conduct your scans, Colonel, and have the droid watch Aphra closely. Droid? What? Trip is back. And this panel right here, this line of dialogue that Simon has written, is why Aphra and Vader almost exist in a sort of a yin and yang nature. You can't have one without the other. Because Aphra can pull the wool over everybody else's eyes, but not Vader.
Right.
Your feelings betray you, Doctor. You are scheming. If the rebels are not here, you will die. And we don't waste any time, because we get right to it. The Colonel says, nothing, Lord Vader. No energy, no heat, no movement. The whole place is dead. Kill her. No. And then you see triple zero. Clink. knives out. And clink. And then rumble, rumble, rumble. Whoosh. A wall.
Ice wall comes up. Yeah. Great. And then BT-1 shows up. Bleep. Good work, BT. Says, Trip, you had me scared for a second there. I forgot how creepy you are. And I love it. He says, flattery would absolve you of your obligations, Doctor. I suggest you honor our deal. You only found this dreary place because I choked the probe droid records for check the probe droid's record for signs. This is where we get the backstory to how they got here. And she says, and Dad was right for once, huh? Martyrium from the earliest Jedi cults, right in the deep core. There you go. Restraining bolts gone, just like BT's. You're officially free. And she's saying free right as he pulls all of his knives out of his fingers.
His little toys.
And I love it because BT-1 asks something, and he says, well, that's a silly question, BT. Why wouldn't we celebrate our freedom with a little dissection R&R? And that's what we're reminded. Boom, boom, boom. She's, oh, because you just betrayed the Dark Lord of the Sith. I mean, do you know the deadly secrets of the Antediluvian Forest Temple? Because I do.
And then we get this, you know, next page. Vader is broken through using his Force abilities, holding his red saber, and he's all business. First squad, proceed eastward, and should you find them, the woman is mine. And Aphra says, you know, again, you know, this is Aphra's narration. You know, I spent a lot of my adult life kind of hot for discipline. The idea of it, I mean. Oh, not just the girls in uniform thing, although, sure, that. But mostly a galaxy like this, the jackboot always felt safer than the jungle. And, you know, she's leading him in, and, you know, and we see her do it. You know, she pulls the handle. Click. I guess it's about time I admit I always made a little exception for myself. And then we see something happen. Foom. Like, the tyrannical forces of brutally imposed order sure are impressive, just as long as they're pointed at someone else. And then we've, you know, then of course Vader says,
Vader's his cape is tattering as well as he's going through all this.
Well, as well as it should. Colonel Bryce, the structure is rigged. Withdraw your men to the ships. And that struck me because he's actually, you know, he's being not just tactical, but he's actually being concerned about the troops beneath, you know, under his service.
Right.
And then, you know, then he says, and then, you know, and then he says, I will conclude the search alone.
And I love this page of Trip just tearing into everything he can find. So much so that, like, he's you've got the I don't know what you call it, the streaks from his eyes.
Yes.
He's moving so fast.
Oh, yeah. The droid can move really, really quickly. So, and then while all of this is happening, again, we have Aphra's dialogue. Not that chaos is much better. Way I'm seeing things now, chaos is just a word for doing what you want and ignoring the consequences. And, yeah, I know. That sounds very me. But, for what it's worth, being a one-woman trail of destruction hasn't exactly brought me health and happiness. Know what I mean? And, of course, you know, we get a nice callback to the Phantom Menace. You know, lightsaber through the door.
Yes. It's just the icon of blessed balance. Knock it over, knock it over, knock it over. So BT-1 does just that, which opens another booby trap.
And then more Aphra, you know, and knowledge, being smart, being sneaky. Sure, that stuff will save your life now and then. And then we get this action. Though, 9 times out of 10, that's what got you in trouble in the first place. Ah, hell, I don't know. Order, chaos, good, bad, light, dark, they're all too big. Too abstract, too simple to be really real. My experience, you try to separate life into neat boxes like that, there are too many gaps for things to fall down. And the gaps are where I've always lived.
And we're not even halfway through the book yet at this point.
No, we're not. But look how much we've gotten, and it's got such a solidly smooth flow.
Yeah, that's what it's shocking to me because I'm thinking, oh, how much is left? Oh, we're only halfway through. But just, it doesn't feel crammed and it doesn't feel rushed.
No, and in the process of all of this, you know, the snowtroopers, you know, BT-1 has dispatched the snowtroopers. Vader is still coming for Aphra. You know, she's leading him toward her, you know, and we see in this one panel, you know, he's facing everything. He's you know, he's been slicing and dicing and hi. So forget the ideals, forget the morals, forget the forbidden blasted wisdom of ancient fanatics. And then we cut back and there's Aphra in the foreground in a, you know, almost as if she was in ahead of a column of light. And she's looking right at Vader and says, I guess we need to talk. And then she goes, you know, again, her inner monologue. What it all boils down to, really, is this. What haunts you? What joys and what regrets fall like stars behind your eyes when you have nowhere else to look? And, you know,
Vader looks like a demon on that page.
Uh-huh. And he says, kneel. And then Trip comes out of nowhere, you know, and goes after him. And it's so striking that he would do so. Yeah, you know, he's made a deal with Aphra. And I think a lot of Aphra's relationships are transactional in nature. You know, even if she doesn't want them to be, there is, on some level, a give and take, a quid pro quo, if you will.
Correct.
But the way she's examining this with this dialogue now, company, friends, family, fixations, sure, company's great.
Well, in my case, it never seems to turn out too well for the company in question. She says, as Triple is getting trisected by Vader.
I mean, just, in a nice little, Zorro reverse swoop, S move, scream.
Cuts off the top half of his head and his midsection and both of his hands.
Oof. And good Lord.
Then Vader says, her? To himself. And Aphra continues, here's the horrible truth, and I'm only sorry I couldn't say goodbye on a brighter note. Everyone stands alone at the end. And what has happened is Trip has stuck something to Vader that has exploded and will incapacitate him.
Yes. It's almost like it's a micro EMP grenade or
exactly.
Something.
Exactly. And so, and Aphra then starts saying some sort of prayer or chant of some sort.
Well, remember where she is.
Yes. She's in this temple. And then she says, I guess maybe that's the true measure of life, isn't it? It's not how folks judge you, not how the galaxy weighs you on some dumb binary scale. It's whether or not you can live with yourself when you're all alone. And that's deep. That's a deep philosophical questioning that you're not going to get in a lot of funny books. Especially not a lot of Star Wars funny books. It says it's whether you can live with yourself when you're alone, with your choices. And I love that that page is on the page of Vader, thinking about every choice he's made. We're seeing him as Anakin. We're seeing the Emperor. We're seeing him fighting Obi-Wan, and we're seeing him bemoaning Padme's fate at the end of Revenge of the Sith. He's thinking through all of this. And then this is where we find out where he is. Aphra reveals it's a confessional. Solid Kyberite. My dad thought. He spent years looking for it. All those centuries of sinners whispering their guiltiest regrets to the heart of a force-active mountain. Pretty overwhelming, I bet, for anyone tuned in. Especially if they already got a few regrets of their own. And, we talked about before about how I'm always amazed when artists can give us Vader's expression with no expression. And if we don't have it here, I don't know what we've got, because I'm thinking, that's not good. He looks like he's really agonizing over something, and he attempts to take out the entire structure. And Aphra jumps away and says, BT, take out his legs, which he does. And she says, the shrine should keep his powers eclipsed for a while. Let's make sure he stays put too, huh? But maybe not as eclipsed as she thought, because he takes BT apart. Because what this looks like, BT looks like when R2-D2 got zapped at the bunker on Endor.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the end of Star Wars, the end of A New Hope in the trench run. And after, I think, kisses that, she's okay, I guess not quite as eclipsed as I thought. He's, listen, for what it's worth, Boths, I wish it hadn't come to this, but you ought to know, regrets are kind of my thing, as he falls on his back. And she says, so listen, I don't know what broke you. If I had to guess, I'd shoot for the whole love, betrayal, loss thing. A lot of that going around. What matters is you've tamped it all down, right? Cold apathy and even colder anger. But I saw you with that altar on the comet Helix, and I see you now. This much pain, when you try to bury it, it just makes it twice as strong when it finds a way out. This is Vader in a nutshell. And this is a better, I feel like, nutshelling of Vader than we've gotten in any of the Vader comics, any of the Star Wars comics. I feel like this is Vader stripped down to his core.
Very much so. And I think because if you go back up to, a couple of pages back, when she's, saying about, it's not about whether you can live with yourself, it's when you're all alone. And you see those images of him stuck inside as he's on bended knee. With him, serving at Palpatine's side, and then the image of fighting Obi-Wan, and then again, Palpatine with the flaming eyes, and then the image of Anakin,
it's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking, and it just makes me feel even more sympathy, not for Vader, but for Anakin.
For Anakin, right.
And I think what we're seeing here, and what Simon has written here, is it's almost like Aphra is giving us, as the reader, a better understanding of the torment that Vader contends with daily. You know, and we saw traces, you know, not traces, we saw a whole lot of that in Darth Vader Volume 2 that Charles Soule wrote. You know, I mean, that's what, at least, you know, from after the events of Revenge of the Sith leading up to A New Hope, that's what drove Vader, was his efforts to what she said here, you know, to tamp it all down. And it's clear now that he has been unable to do that through the events of A New Hope, especially, you know, now, you know, because, you know, he knows who his son is. He knows that he has a son. You know, he has that bitter reminder of his time with Padme. And he's still, you know, there's nothing he can do about it.
There's nothing. And I think the difference between that presentation and this presentation for me is that that presentation, we saw him reacting from a place of strength. Whether that strength was coming from anger or hate or anything like that. Here, he just looks pitiful because he is not under as much of his own power as he normally is. You know, he looks frail because she stripped away his suit from him. In fact, she says, "I know a guilty freaking disaster when I see one, sir." He's laying on his back. And he stands up and he says, "Yours will not be the hand that kills me," which is very defiant. But he still, to me, just looks so pitiful. And to me, this is Anakin's spirit that we're seeing here, I feel like. This is the broken down, broken spirit that we're seeing. And this is supposed to be Dr. Aphra's book, but like you said, they're telling us so much about Vader here.
That's because I think at the core, almost, Aphra is a lot like Vader. You know, in that, you know, obviously not to the extreme that Vader has gone to, but, you know, but Aphra is dealing with all of these, you know, because she's not just exposing Vader to his deepest fears and reading him like a book. She's doing it in lieu, almost, it's almost like she's doing it to draw attention away from herself, even though she's not. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, I get it. She's deflecting. She is trying to deflect, but she's also
embracing the deflection. You
know, exactly.
She's just making it, you know, it's
she's bouncing it off of him, but she's absorbing it. She's absorbing the ricochet. And she says, "Kill, come on, not like that's not like that. I'm your biggest fan. Also, I'm not stupid enough to think down equals beaten, so I'll be keeping my hands nice and safe out here, thanks. But while you do represent certain opportunities, look, think of it like this. Whoever you once were, that lost little boy, right? And this is where Vader, he's just had it. She says, sorry, sore nerve. Whoever you were, it's what you represent that really matters. One big scary reputation wrapped up in a cyber suit, and I can use both. And this is where she's done playing armchair therapist. She's now back to, what can I use you for? And she says, don't pick a fight with an archaeologist in a spooky old ruin, and don't wage war against a tech criminal if you're half a machine. She's got him down. And then back on the Executor, we hear, receiving you, Lord Vader. Did you find the base, sir? Should we begin deployment? Silence. I require access to the data registry for Project Swarm. And this guy's telling her, I should check with Admiral Ozzel. He's got project clearance. She says, stop arguing and do it, idiot. And I love it. This guy says, idiot? She says, I mean, fool. That was an order, fool. So we know immediately this is not Vader talking, as yes. If there was any doubt. He says, I have voice verification. I just need today's unique command code. Just command code. Let's see. Here we go. Let's the vocoder. Theta 66 Delta Indigo 4. That's confirmed. Patching you through the suit's processor now. Lord Vader, you seem to be altering some of the probe droid records, sir. Huge numbers of them, in fact, and deletion, sir. Hundreds of records we haven't analyzed yet. Sir, I really do think I should check with the Admiral before I upload these instructions. And she cuts him off. Do you know what happens to those who irritate me, officer? And I love this image of him just reaching out with his finger. That is such a great image.
You'll notice his hand is still shaking.
Yes, I love it. Crack me up. Commands implemented, Lord. Attaboy. And Vader tells her that will not save them. She goes, I know, you'll find the rebel sooner or later. But Officer Brown Pants there wouldn't have pressed the button if I just told him to self-destruct all the probes or whatever. This way you got to untangle the mess, check up on all those false positives. I figure that's got to cost you at least, oh, a few weeks.
Think back.
Yeah, and we get a flashback to her saying you're thinking it'll still be a few weeks before the defenses are built and the evacuation plans in place. This is when this was last issue. It's just time. That's what's left when you strip away everything else. You cut out the hopes and a forgiveness and a happy ending and all those the other bantha crap someone like me was never going to get. What's left is time. One stolen second, one stay of execution after the next. From a certain perspective, time's the only thing a thief ever really steals. And it's the only gift an irredeemable disaster can give to anyone. This is some great dialogue.
This is amazing dialogue.
And these are some great looking tauntauns that they've drawn here too.
Oh yeah, all I can think of is that one lone tweet that Casper Wingard sent out a few weeks ago, drawing tauntauns all day. So.
It's a rough life, isn't it?
It is. And it's a great setup because, you know, we see the Falcon and we see Chewie on top of the Falcon. So,
yep.
And you know, and that's Vulada and that's Corrin, you know, the other Dr. Afrin and Magna there. So and then we cut back.
See, I didn't even notice that the first time through. I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah.
And then you cut down in the next panel of Vader. I will find you. Yeah, I know. I know you won't stop. I know I'll spend the rest of my life, short life, looking over my shoulder all the same. I hope someday you get to know how it feels to do something good.
Nice foreshadowing.
See you around, Lord Vader. And in a funny sort of way, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And I love that image of her.
That is a great image.
She looks happy. She's content.
And all we've ever wanted is for her to be happy.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so, yeah, Tolvin, Vlada, Dad, I'm glad you were together, and I'm asking you, please don't be sad for me, stuck out here alone. Let's be honest. This is the only way it was ever going to end. You know what I think? Whether you're hanging on to rage or regret or greed or grief, sometimes love is letting go. And I love that where she's talking about rage, regret, and greed and grief, we see Vader just tearing everything down.
Yeah.
And again, he still looks frail. Looks so small.
He looks frail, but he still has that massive power because that rage of his is driving him.
Absolutely. She says love is letting go. And I love that ship that she's flying out in. Is that a TIE? What is that?
It's a TIE Reaper.
TIE Reaper.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. TIE Reaper, got it. And so after she ends recording and she says, repugnant sentimentality, you're not even really alone. You know, if I had hands, I'd debone you like a fish. And I realize, oh, I know who's talking now. And she's talking to Trip. His head is still alive. His processor is still alive. She says, encrypt the recording and send it to Hoth, BT. And he says, and what about us? You're a fleshy failure. I'm half a head, and BT's down to his processor core. Where did we get our eternity of terrified pursuit? She says, I was thinking about that. You know what I've always wanted to see? He says, no, thrill me. What? And she doesn't even say it. We just get everything as she takes off it. This is a gorgeous final image.
It is a gorgeous final image. It really is.
And we get to be continued in Empire Ascendant number one. And that last image of Aphra is her smiling, looking almost hopeful. And then we get this last gorgeous image of the ship taking off.
Yes. And of course, I like that they did this on the Star Wars page, because we haven't really had any letters in a while, which is fine because that saves space to get more story in there. But at the same time, they took advantage of this, to essentially let us as readers hear from the new creative team. Writer Alyssa Wong and artist Marika Cresta. So we get some, nothing too weighty or detailed, but just a nice little how do you do, and this is what we love about Star Wars, and this is what we're looking forward to when as we work on the next volume of Dr. Aphra. So I feel good. I feel comfortable. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to be doing with this character.
And, they're going to have a hard time topping this, but that's okay, because I hope that they're able to just kind of take it and make it their own.
Yeah.
Because this character is rich enough to stand up to multiple tellings of different stories. So
I wholeheartedly agree.
Cover gallery for next time and for January. Just they all look just wonderful. I cannot
they
wait.
They do it. And more importantly, you know, Empire Ascendant is going to be a very critically important read for Star Wars comics fans.
Yes. And so that's going to do it for the reviews. Is that the only book we have next week?
No. We have, of course, Empire Ascendant 1. And it's, you know, four stories. Basically, you know, tying in every, you know, it's the destination. It's the conclusion to the Destination Hoth storyline, if you will. You know, and we get, you know, Vader has got, he's going to get new soldiers for the Empire. Han has a job for an old friend. Hunter, you know, Valance the Hunter. Dr. Aphra is going to have to face her legacy. And of course, the rebels dig into Hoth. So we have Empire Ascendant number 1 coming. We also have Star Wars Adventures number 29, which is, of course, part of IDW's The Journey to the Rise of Skywalker stories. We also get a Star Wars Adventures Greatest Hits number 1. So, which is essentially, it's a dollar book, and it's got the two-part Rey storyline from Star Wars Adventures when Star Wars Adventures first launched. And then, of course, Jeff, we have the big one. The one that's going to break the Star Wars Twitterverse next Wednesday. The Rise of Kylo Ren, number 1. The 4-issue miniseries.
Yeah, people are excited about that.
Yeah, people are way excited about that. And, you know, even you know, Will Sliney, the artist on the book, says, you know, essentially, you need to read that issue before you go see The Rise of Skywalker.
Really?
Yeah. So it's going to be, I got a feeling. Now, it's a gut feeling. But I got a feeling that The Rise of Skywalker number 1 is going to probably be end up being like a top 10, top 20 comic book. If everyone who has been crowing and you know, bathing it in adulation since it was first announced remember to go to a comic book shop and have them order it for them.
That's the real trick, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but I, you know, regardless, I think that book is going to do gangbusters business digitally. So we will see.
We will see. And we'll be back to report on them next week.
Yes, we will. Can't wait to read it, though. I'm really looking forward to reading it.
Me either. So that's going to do it for the reviews this week. Matt, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And for Comics with Kenobi, I'm Jeff.
I'm Matt.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
Comics with Kenobi's theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
Don't wanna see us running the galaxy. Don't wanna see us running the galaxy. Don't wanna see us running the galaxy. Don't wanna see us running the galaxy.
Bud, stop peeing!